Affliction is called something that causes pain or suffering. I felt this overwhelming feeling of affliction since March of 2020. Of course, what happened in March of 2020? That's when the lockdown began. And all the ramifications we've seen from that. And part of this, why I felt this affliction, is a passing away of a life that I grew up with, a life that I knew. We've seen cities shut down. We've seen countries locked down. We've seen businesses destroyed. We've seen the curbings of civil liberties. We've seen the beginning of the destruction of Western civilization, increasing societal division, cancel culture, thought police, politicizing of science and biology. Criminals are heroes and police are criminals. It's kind of topsy-turvy. And in this time of affliction, what it's done for me is it's made me look past this world. The Bible says that as followers of Christ, we're just passing through. We're pilgrims. We're exiles here. That we have an ultimate home where we're going through. And so as followers of Christ, we're restless. And so in this last year and a half, it's made me realize more and more, Lord, I long for that home. When it's your time, I look forward to getting away from the pain, the chaos, the affliction that's all around us. Now, the Apostle Paul knew affliction. We talked about this last week, and I'm going to kind of go a little bit over it again because it's so important. He writes a letter to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians, and in 2 Corinthians, he really becomes transparent. He really opens his heart up to the recipients of the letter to tell them how he's doing, to tell them the struggles that he's having. He writes in 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 8, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our afflictions which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life." Not sure what was going on. Some people think it might have been a physical malady. We don't know. But Paul says, felt like my life was over. I don't know if I could have kept going. He writes in chapter 2, verse 13, "I had no rest for my spirit." He was churning on the inside. He was restless. Chapter 7, verse 5. "For even when we came into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were afflicted on every side, conflicts without, fears within." Paul is saying, this is hard. Early in chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, he says, "But thank God for the God of all mercies who comforts us in all of our afflictions." And God is the one who comforts us. Sometimes, many times, the instrument of that comfort are other people. I'm not part of the sermon that I'm going to go there, but listen to what he says in chapter 7, verse 6. "But God who comforts the depressed, comfort us by the coming of Titus." I was depressed. Titus came. He encouraged me. He lifted me up. "And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforting you, as he reported to us your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more." Paul says, man, I was so down, and then Titus found me, and that alone was great, but then Titus told me how much you cared for me. I was wondering if you'd forgot about me. These false apostles were coming in trying to pick you off one by one, trying to gain your affection. But he says, you've come to me, Titus. I've been comforted through all this. So we're looking at comfort in our afflictions. Last week I looked at part one, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. And we talked about that comfort is found around the person of Jesus Christ. Today we're going to look at part two, comfort in our afflictions. And comfort is found in our future eternal hope. Our future eternal hope. And so Paul's going to talk about that future eternal hope that we have. And he begins by saying, we will be raised. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. But having the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. The same spirit. He says, I have the same attitude of faith as the psalmist does. And then he quotes Psalm 116, verse 10. And in that psalm, the psalmist was giving thanksgiving to God because of his deliverance from death. And that's exactly how Paul was saying right here. He felt he was close to death's doorstep. He was so beaten down. He was so weary. And Paul says, I believe, therefore I spoke. We believe, therefore we speak. The psalmist, Paul, us also, we're compelled by our faith. And as we see God provide for us, as we're comforted, we're called to bear witness of the Lord to those around us, how God has got us through these times of affliction. That's exactly what Paul is saying about himself, and he's telling us. Verse 14, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. Knowing, Paul was persuaded, it's the idea of persuaded. Paul says, even if I didn't get through this, even if this life on this earth ended, he looks beyond. He says, my life's not going to be over because of the resurrection of Jesus. Back in 1 Corinthians 15, the first letter that he wrote, he talks about that resurrection and how Jesus appeared to many, at one point even 500 people at one time, before he ascended into heaven. And Paul says, and that's what we preach, the resurrection. Because if the resurrection is not true, my preaching's foolishness. We're wasting our time here. Your faith's in vain. But he says, that's not true. What's true is Jesus rose from the dead. He gave me life, Paul's saying. And he gives life to anyone who puts their faith and trust in him. And so Paul's saying, because Jesus lives right now, we also will live. So Paul, therefore, didn't despair completely in affliction. Every death-like trial that he went through was a prelude to resurrection life. Verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Paul says, all things, even afflictions, Paul's heart here is to serve the Corinthian Christians and the Christians in other cities. Notice what he says. The grace which is spreading more and more. God's grace doesn't end, doesn't hit a cul-de-sac. It keeps spreading. And Paul says not only can God comfort you in your afflictions in Corinth, but that same grace can comfort others in whatever city that they're in. And he says God does this so that we might give glory to God, the glory of God, splendor of God, majesty of God. We're called to, our ultimate goal is to give glory to God. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. Whatever then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Some of you might have been here, it was at least 20 years ago maybe, when Alfred Young preached one Sunday. And I'll never forget, he talked about the glory of God, and he made it in such a way that I've always understood it. To bring glory to God makes God look good. Amen. We're called to glorify him. We're called to make him look good. And so Paul says, whatever we do, we want to do it to the glory of God. So Paul's immediate goal of his ministry was not for himself, wasn't for he could have more accolades. Part of his ministry, the goal of his ministry was the glory of God and the care of others, the benefit of others. And I believe one of the ways God is glorified in our lives, that we make him look good, is as we go through afflictions. Because in afflictions, he gives us the grace that we need, the comfort that we need, the strength that we need to maintain and keep on going even when things get difficult. So as he gives us that grace, we look to him and we make him look good. So we find comfort in our afflictions. First of all, we will be raised, but future tense. But second of all, we are being renewed right now, present tense. Verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. We do not lose heart. Some versions say we do not faint. We do not become weary. We do not become spiritless. He said the exact same expression in the same chapter, chapter 4, verse 1. Two times he tells him that. I want you to know. I want you to know, as he said in verse 9, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed but not despairing, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. We haven't quit. I haven't given up. God in his grace and comfort are still here. Titus is around me. I found out that you still care about me. We're not going to quit. So why don't we quit during affliction? Well, Paul says, our outer man is decaying. He's talking about our physical bodies right here, these temples. He says the same thing in verse 7, verse 10, verse 11, where he talks about this outward man. And the tense that he uses is present passive. What that means is it's ongoing and decay is happening to you. Okay? Now, Paul was not suggesting that the body was not important or we should ignore its warnings and needs. Since our bodies are the temple of God, we must care for them the best we can. But at the same time, we cannot stop the aging process. Now, I don't know what age you peak at. Maybe, you know, in your teen years or whatever, I'm not sure. But after that, it's all downhill, right? You know, you start to go up, and then you hit a place, and then, woo, the backside. You can't stop it. You can do the best to maintain, but you can't stop. My father was 82 years old. He was in incredible health. He walked three miles a day, 6 days a week. And when I say walked, he didn't just, like, stroll. I mean, if you walk with him, you better be walking, almost running. He cut his grass. He did everything. Then he had an aortic aneurysm. He was rushed to the hospital, operated on him, repaired it a couple of days later. He was doing great. He was in the hospital. But then a couple of days after that, he began to go down. The doctor said, bad news, his kidneys are failing. His organs are breaking down. I was like, wait a minute, doc. You fixed his heart. I mean, he's in great health. He's like, I understand that, but he's 82 years old. It's natural progression. Things begin to break down, begin to shut down. But Paul goes on and says, though the outer man is decaying, yet their inner man is being renewed day by day. The inner man, the immaterial part of man where the Holy Spirit resides. Being renewed day by day to cause to grow, to be made new. He's saying new strength, new vigor is given no matter what's going on the outside, on the inside, day by day. Though affliction might take its toll on the outer man, yet the inner man is being given grace and strength and spiritual renewal. Again, how does this take place? Well, affliction comes into your life. As affliction comes into your life, you depend upon the Lord. You go to him, as Jesus says, come to me in times of difficulty. I will give you grace and mercy. And as you come to him and depend upon him, he gives you what you need to get through that. And you begin to grow on the inside. Slowly, surely, over time, God begins to transform his people. That's his goal. We be conformed to the image and likeness of Christ. So as the earthly faculties begin to fade, the things of the Spirit become more real. We grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll say an amen to that. As I've gotten older, this body, you know, aches a whole lot more. My hearing's not as good. I don't see as well. But at the same time, when it's God's time, I want to trade this in for a new model, okay? But until that day comes, I want to keep growing. And I honestly can say that I'm closer to the Lord now than I've ever been. You know, I came here 35 years ago and started ministry, and man, I don't know what I was doing. And I can honestly say I think I'm a little wiser now than I used to be. So the outside things happen that you could try to hold them off for a while, but you can't stop them. But on the inside, greater things are taking place, that God's renewing you day by day. So we can find comfort in our afflictions because we will be raised. Because we are being renewed, and third, we have an eternal perspective. Verse 17. For momentary, light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Momentary, light affliction, momentary. He's saying brief as compared to eternity. And light, affliction that's easy to bear, because affliction is intense pressure, trouble, hardship. I'm sure they were saying, well, what kind of affliction have you had, Paul? Do you really know what you're talking about? Do you really know how hard things can be? Well, later on, Paul says, I do. Because the false apostles were trying to undermine Paul. And Paul says, okay, I'll put my resume up against your resume. Let's see how it looks. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, here's what Paul writes. Are they servants of God? Talking about the false teachers. I speak as if insane. Of course they're not. I more so, in far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 and a day I've spent in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys and dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I've been in labor and hardships through many sleepless nights and the hunger and thirst, often without food and cold and exposure. Whoa. I don't think anybody in here is even close to that. And Paul called it light affliction. But he says there's still one more thing now. All those external things, imprisonment, beaten with lashes, robbers around him. There's still one more thing. Verse 28. Apart from such external things, there's the daily pressure upon me of concern for all the churches. Not only do I have these external things because of my stand for Christ, but the churches, the people that I love, that I'm there to oversee, to care for, that is always with me. That pressure is always on me. Wondering how they're doing. So Paul knew affliction. He calls it light. And he says this is producing for us an eternal weight of glory. The idea of producing means to render one fit. To render one fit for what? For eternity. An eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. A weight, a heavy mass, beyond comparison. Here's what he's doing. He's comparing his light afflictions on earth to the glory that will one day be his in heaven. And he says, so if you got a pair of scales and you put all the afflictions I went through, they'd probably be like a feather on one side. But the weight of glory that will last through eternity is like, you know, 100,000 tons on the other side. There's no comparison. Now, for most of us, afflictions come and go. You know, we say, this too shall pass. But it's also true if you live long by the world's standards, it's nothing compared to eternity. I mean, think about people who lived 100 years old. That's long. But 100 years compared to eternity. Trillions times trillions times trillions, whatever that means, I don't even know. That's what he's saying. So even if you suffered every day of your life for 100 years, compared to eternity, it would be a moment. Now, three things about affliction. I just want to make some observations. Affliction is affliction. Here's what I mean. It's all relative. It is your affliction, and God can comfort you in that. What do I mean? It's your affliction. Well, for some people, you know, having a hangnail might be affliction for them. Other people go through amazing suffering and pain and difficulty and grief. Now, you can't say, well, let me tell you about mine. Paul wasn't doing that. He was just saying, these guys think they're so great. Let me just tell you what I've been through for Christ's sake. So when you're in affliction, whatever it is, and it comes in all sorts of shapes and sizes, it's painful, and God can comfort you in whatever the affliction is. Second, whatever the affliction you're going through, God can comfort you, and you must remember that the glory outweighs it all. You must keep going. You must not say, well, this is it. My life is over. No. It's not over till God says it's over. Keep the future glory in mind. But here's the third thing about affliction. You never know what other people, what afflictions they have been through, or what they're going through right now. You know, you'd have met the Apostle Paul, probably the most joyful man you ever met in your life. But he'd been through major afflictions. He didn't walk around, oh, poor me, you know, crying all the time. Never. So we get this little insight into his life in 2 Corinthians that it's like, whoa, man, that's Paul? Oh, that can't be Paul. No, that's Paul. He was a human, just like we are, frail, weak, dependent. So afflictions are real. And then verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The things seen, Paul says, are going to pass away one day. This way of life, this humanity on this planet Earth is all temporary. And one day, the things that we don't see, eternal things, imagine if we could see, if we had vision, could see all the things going on behind the scenes. Sometimes the Bible opens those up to us, like in Job. Those things are going to last forever. Now think about the things passing away. Again, the last year and a half in our country, and just the riots in the street, the burning, the looting. Two great cities in our country, New York, in Chicago. I've been to both of them numerous times. They're not the same cities anymore. They've been looted. Businesses have been closed permanently. Many places are boarded up, locked down. Crime has skyrocketed. God says that it's not going to last forever. The great, it was called the Eternal City, still is Rome. In its heyday, in its glory, was the crown of Western civilization. Now you go to Rome, it's nice to look at history if you like history, but it's not like it's some great city, you know, affecting what goes on in the world. Only one kingdom and one city is going to last forever. Only one. In Revelation chapter 18, John talks about the future, and he talks about Babylon, a city. Some people some debate on what Babylon's going to be. Some people think it's going to be literal Babylon, which is in modern-day Iraq. It's going to be rebuilt. And when he talks about Babylon, he talks about the religious Babylon, terrible world system, this world religion. But it also talks about commercial Babylon. They're going to be kind of merged together, this city. And Babylon is the great city of the world at the time. And listen what happens. Revelation 18, verse 8. For this reason, in one day, her plagues will come, pestilence and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for the Lord God who judges her is strong. This great city, Babylon, is going to fall. Because everyone does sooner or later. And he goes on, verse 9. And the kings of the earth who committed acts of immorality and lived sensually with her will weep and lament over her when they see the smoke of a burning, standing at a distance because of the fear of a torment, saying, woe, woe, the great city Babylon, the strong city. From 1 hour your judgment has come. 1 hour. God's going to judge it. Verse 18. And were crying out as they saw the smoke of a burning, saying, what city is like the great city? And they threw dust on their heads and were crying out, weeping and mourning, saying, woe, woe, the great city in which all who had ships at sea became rich by her wealth. From 1 hour she has been laid waste. So when we look around at our world, we must not be overly affectionate. Because 1 hour, Babylon's going to be destroyed. We've seen the last year and a half, many great cities in our country have become a shell of themselves. Because every kingdom, every city will have its demise except for one. The kingdom of God and the holy city, Jerusalem. Not Jerusalem right now, even though that's God's city. That's what he says. But in the future, a new Jerusalem, similar but new, quantitatively new, fresh. John writes in Revelation 21:1, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for a husband. In this new city, it's going to be a perfect community where the people of God live. It's going to be the capital of God's kingdom. Well, all the redeemed will be there for all eternity. And as Paul says, the things which are not seen, these eternal perspective kept Paul going, sustained him in time of afflictions. He knew that there was a future home waiting for him. So let's not get too fixated only on the temporal. We begin to gaze more and more away from just the things that are seen, the troubles and afflictions, to the things that are not seen. Because affliction will pass, sorrow will end, and one day God will take all mourning, all suffering, all pain and death from us. Now, there's been a lot of changes in our country in the last year and a half. Things are different. And I'm going to tell you, I love living in Covington. I love being in this area. I love the home I live in. That's become less important to me. As God has shown me, man, this can go. Some of you know from the hurricane, either Ida, Katrina, other disasters, it can go quickly. But the home that God has for you, where the builder and maker is God, is going to be eternal. So don't pin all your hopes down here. There is great affliction, great cultural change is taking place, but we can find our comfort in our future hope. How do we keep going? How do we stay renewed? Three things, and I'll close with this. First of all, keep your eyes on your final home. Right before Christ was crucified, his disciples knew that he was going to go to the cross. They didn't know what was going on. He was going to leave them, he told them. And they were distraught. He says, whoa, 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 wait a minute. John 14, 1. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Then verse 2. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. I'm leaving you, but I'm going to a place where it's going to be better for you one day. I'm going to prepare a place that you will live in. I'll come and I'll take you to myself. So changes in our society, hurricanes, COVID can upset our world, but there's a better place awaiting the believer in Jesus Christ. He promised us an eternal home, and deep down in our spirits, we long for that. Where there's rest, where there's peace, where there's harmony all the time. So the first thing, keep your eyes on your final home. Second, stay closely connected to the Lord. Stay closely connected. Luke 18, 1, it says, now he was telling them a parable, this is about Jesus, to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. Same word, lose heart, is the word that Paul uses in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1 and 16. We do not become weary, do not lose heart, we do not become lifeless. So he's saying, Jesus here, keep praying. Stay dependent on God. Look to him. Don't give up. Don't quit, because the Lord is the one, as you come to him, who gives you grace and strength and mercy and comfort in time of need. And then the third thing, stay connected with others. Stay connected with others. Paul writes in Galatians 6, 9, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Same word, grow weary, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1 and 16, to lose hope, to become spiritless. Paul's saying, listen, when affliction's around you and the world gets hard, don't become cold and cynical. Don't say, I've had it with everybody, I'm going to go do my thing, I don't care about anybody else. Don't do that, Paul says. Keep your hearts warm. Keep loving people. Keep caring for people. So keep on living. Do not lose heart. Keep looking to Jesus. Remember that this world is not your final home. And when afflictions come, Jesus is there to comfort you in all of your afflictions. Let's pray. Lord, I know there's a lot of afflictions going on in this room right now in different shapes, sizes, forms. But Lord, you want to comfort us in each and every one of them. So I pray that you might do so right now and continue to do so, and that whatever afflictions people are going through, that they keep looking to you, they stay close to you. That part of it is they get perspective to know that this is not our final home, that we don't put everything in one basket down here, because that basket's going to be gone one day. And I also pray that our hearts stay warm to each other, that we not become cold and calloused and cynical because of the things going on in our world, but that we keep moving forward and you keep comforting our hearts. And as you comfort our hearts, may we turn and comfort others who are going through affliction. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.